What's one of your biggest challenges as a dad?
Patience.
How do you work through that?
Deep breaths.
I am really excited to introduce you to not only a great friend, but an awesome neighbor. If you don't have a neighbor like my neighbor, Bill, I'm just sorry. This is Bill Eisenman. And Bill, thank you so much for being part of my Father's Day special.
Oh, you're welcome, and thank you for having me.
Bill's the kind of guy, I've got to tell you, that everybody loves. He's like the neighbor that's the best, always asking, you know, how are you doing? Anything I can do for you? He's the kind that's got that watchful eye, and yet he doesn't, step over boundaries. I mean, he's the kind that all the kids flock to. Even our grandchildren, when they come in from New York City, they say, oh, we have to go see Mr. Bill. We have to tell him we're here. So, Bill, what is it about you that you are just like a magnet to children?
Well, frankly, I didn't realize that I was such a magnet to children. I do love children. I do love kids, their innocence, their fun, their activity level. But I've never truly gone out and sought that type of interaction. I just think that they realize it. And I'm the parent who doesn't mind sitting outside and watching them play for hours.
I know. I love that. And also, you're the one that encourages them. You're like that eternal coach out there that's always saying to kids that you believe the best in them. And you give them time in the moment. And maybe that's what's missing in our culture.
Well, but I do believe the best in them. I believe that there is good in all of them, and I believe that anybody can do what another person can do, especially if you start out from a young age. And that's exactly where these kids are. You know, you have to look at them as almost in incubators. And how are we providing for them? What are we giving them? There's, you know, statistics about for every one bad thing they hear, they have to hear X amount of good things. With the digital age that we're in, they hear enough bad things. It's time that, when they come over, I want to make sure that they're hearing the good things.
That's awesome. Now, you and your wife, Cheryl, you have mm-hmm. 3 children. Tell me about your kids.
Oh, my kids are great, if I may say so. But they get it all from their mom's side. I have a 16-year-old daughter named Erin, a 13-year-old son named Evan, and a 9-year-old daughter named Emily.
And they are not only the joy of your life, but they seem like the pride of your life as well.
They are.
What is it you like best about being a father?
Oh, that's a tough one. To pick one thing, selfishly, it would be to watch, I don't want to say them grow as a person, but it would be to watch what we have planted grow.
Maybe to watch their development.
Yes, that's a better way of saying it, yes.
Yeah. I love watching you do family events. You all are good at taking vacations together. And I remember the first time I met you, you were building something for Evan in your backyard.
Okay. That doesn't surprise me. We're constantly doing that. Just last week, they had me hanging up from a tree, helping him build a zip line going from the tree down to the patio. It was more like a decelerated fall, but they were doing their best.
And have you been on that zip line yet?
I have not. No, I have not. I'm sure there's a weight limit that I far exceed.
Well, there's something about with Evan that you were working with for motor skills and maybe something towards football. Mm-hmm. Do you remember what kind of contraption I'm talking about?
You know, I don't, but there's so... Oh, I do. Yes, now that I think of it. Yes, we were building... it's a typical jump block. And it's more like a table. It sits 36 inches high, and it's something that he works out on jumping on. Everything from a sitting position to a standing to a squatting position. Helping him build his vertical.
Wow.
And increases his leg muscles, his agility, his strength.
Is this the boot camp before the boot camp?
This is a standard football thing. It's just something that is extremely cumbersome and difficult to get out to the football practices. But in essence, it is the same muscles that you use when you block, when you drive, when you hit, when you carry the ball. And he's just extremely committed to making sure those are as built as he can build them.
Well, let's get this out of the way right now. You are a Sooners fan.
I am.
We're living in Texas, but mm-hmm. you're rooting for Oklahoma. What's up with that one?
Well, you know, we're just as close to Oklahoma as we are to UT. I'll just say that. And living in North Texas, there's a lot of Sooners here. A lot of Sooners here. And I like to tell people the only reason I didn't go to UT is because I wasn't smart enough to get in.
Well, there are a lot of people from OU in this area. Our son is up at the OU campus a lot because a lot of his buddies go up there, love the games. It's always competitive. That crimson and cream. Yes, we might be rivals with Texas, but it's sort of fun to watch. And it sounds like you're truly a football guy.
I am. Our whole family is. We always have been. We're season ticket holders to the Sooners. I've been season ticket holders to the Cowboys. I enjoy going to the games as we all do. We enjoy going to the games as opposed to watching it all Hollywood-esque on television. Yes.
So that sounds to me like family times. Why don't you talk to me about some of your favorite family times that you all have done over the years?
I'd say our favorite family times are by far Christmas and Easter. Thanksgiving growing up was one of my favorites, but Christmas and Easter is when we all get together. When I say we all, not just me and my family, but my extended family and my wife's family and my sister-in-law's family. And it's every Christmas Eve. It's a big party ranging from anywhere to 35 to 60 people. And we do a gift swap. Everything from the kids have their own, we have our own. And it's just a great family event. It's when we all get together. And then Easter is similar, but not near as formal. And it's outside and it's a crawfish boil. And we do a big crawfish boil for Easter and hide a whole bunch of Easter eggs. And the kids get more candy than they could ever deal with.
Crawfish?
Yes.
Where are you getting that? I mean, I do know that there's a pond behind your house, but...
Yeah, fortunately, we're not getting them from there. It's something you can get pretty much. You just have to order them in advance.
Oh, that is amazing. I have missed that mail order. Well, the thing I remember when we first moved into the neighborhood, which we have a beautiful neighborhood. Everyone is close and it's very family friendly. But literally, your whole family lives here. Your mom is across one side of our house, mm-hmm. and you're across the front of our house, and down at the end of the road is your brother, and don't you have some others out here too?
I do. I have another brother that lives next door to my mom.
So this is like Bill's neighborhood.
No, no. This is the Eisenman neighborhood.
Well, the thing that's very, very cool is how committed you are to family. I know that you've been going through a bit of a hardship right now with your mother and her health.
Mm-hmm. That's correct.
And I'm just curious, how is it that you have this love and passion for family?
Well, how is it?
Was it modeled for you?
I was going to say, I don't think it was ever a choice. I don't think it was something that I ever looked at as, well, I can have it or I can't, or I can take the easy way. Now, family is family and you take care of family. My family, in this case, that needs taken care of is my mother. It was my father a few years back. He's passed away. And now it's my mother. And that's what we do. And please don't for a second think that it is just me. It is also my brother Mark, my brother Gene, my sister Terry, as well as our spouses.
And beautiful.
All the way to the kids. So we all pitch in. Yes, it was modeled for us. My parents and me too, are originally from New Orleans. It's a very nuclear family type
down there. That's why the crawfish, right?
That's why the crawfish.
Got it.
There you go.
Okay.
You put those two together.
Okay.
Yeah. And it's a very nuclear family, and you take care. You take care of them.
Wow. What's one of your biggest challenges as a dad?
Patience.
How do you work through that?
Deep breaths.
That's great.
It's to every kid, with every kid, I'd say that the way I work through that is different with every kid. For instance, my daughter, our oldest daughter, the way I work through it is I literally have to remove myself from the situation. I have to walk out of the room, cool down, and then come back and address it. With my son, I just sit down and speak slowly and make sure that I have his full attention. And with my youngest one, my 9-year-old, I haven't figured her out yet.
She's a cutie, by the way.
Thank you.
With a great personality.
She is.
So you're also a coach?
Yes.
How does that work for you?
It works great. It's it was never my intent to be a coach. My oldest daughter, when she was about 5, was playing soccer, and the coach was frequently absent. I was asked to pitch in. Next thing you know, I was asked to coach the team, and here we are, a dozen years later, and I'm coach everything from football to basketball to soccer to you name it. It's all the way from high school down to 5-year-olds.
I think that's the thing I really admire about you as I watch your life. You're in the moment with your kids. You're growing and expanding with your children, and you're there. Mm-hmm. You just mentioned something about absence. It seems to me like we're living in a culture where even if the dad is in the home, he's absent because he's preoccupied with his job or preoccupied with how is he going to make ends meet. How would you speak to that dad to encourage him?
Well, I'm guilty of that as well. I think anybody who says that they're not is probably fooling themselves. There's always time that we take for ourselves that we probably should be spending with our kids. And if you don't believe me, you can ask my wife. She'll tell you that I'm right. But now I would say how I would speak to them is you don't get these times back. Mm. There's no redo here. And I know as a father, as a husband, as a provider, it's our job to provide not just for them monetarily, but spiritually, physically, and emotionally. And so those are the things that we have to do. And whatever that, whatever it takes to do that is what I'm going to do.
That's incredible. And I think you hit it bullseye. There's no redo. We have this moment, we have this season, and actually people are in the middle of a whole bunch of different kinds of season. I'm sure the father of the toddler is pulling his hair out and he's exhausted.
Mm-hmm.
And he thinks his life is busy, and you just wait till high school years and, college years. There's always a busy season, but isn't it about really seeing the value of that season?
And we as fathers, it seems like, are constantly searching for, I'll call it a soft place to land. If the rug should be pulled out from under us, that's what we're looking for. If we lose our job, if something happens to a loved one, how it seems like we always have that hanging over us. And, I've decided that I'm just not going to focus on that, not going to give that energy, and going to instead put that into my children. And that includes the time with them. Heck, if somebody's going to be with them coaching them, I'd rather it be me.
Good point. I grew up with a dad who always told us, he said, hey, walk in a room, look around. Somebody's going to lead. It might as well be you.
Precisely.
And maybe that's what we're saying to the dads today. Somebody's going to coach your children. Somebody's going to teach your children. Why not you be the one that steps up to the plate? Because you're the one they're looking for, really. I really believe that children want their daddy to be their hero. And Bill, I can say this of you, your kids look at you and for sure you're their hero. I'm wondering if we can finish this interview by you encouraging dads out there, no matter what season they're in. What would you tell them?
No matter what season you're in, you're still a dad. That doesn't change for your kids. So you need to look at it every day through their eyes, not yours, and make sure that you show up, because as we said before, there's no do-overs.
Great counsel. Bill, I never even asked you ahead of time, but would you just say a quick prayer to those dads who really want what you're talking about,
sure,
but they don't know how to get there?
Love to. Lord, thank you for these children you've given us. Thank you for our families. I pray that you help guide us all in fatherhood. There's a song out that says, you're a good, good father, and you are. You've set the bar. You are an example that we must follow. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Bill, you're awesome. Thank you for who you are, and thanks for the encouragement you give from across the way. You know, you've got to quit waving at me. I don't see you waving. But I always love it when you walk by and go, hey, Gail, it's Bill.
Yeah, well, I want to let you know. It's not some stranger walking up to you to give you a hug.
Thank you so much. Well, happy Father's Day to you.
Thank you. Take care.
You too. This is Gail, and I want to personally thank you for being part of this new series called Raw. Real men against the odds, willing to go the distance. Perhaps you've listened today and you think, I just feel stuck. I have a resource that you might be interested in, and I hope it will be helpful. The book is called Stuck or Positioned, It's Your Choice. Living on the 50-yard line is never what you were designed to do. No, there's a game called life, and you've got to play it with all your might. And I hope this resource will give you some extra motivation to meet the goals in front of you. You can see more at gailmcwilliams.com/stuck. Remember, when you choose to look past the horizon, the sky's the limit. I'll see you next time.